Topic tonight is, where is the evidence for God? Is there evidence for God? Honestly, it would be good to have some things to give people. If we're talking and keeping it real on campus, people are going to say, well, I don't see God. Where is he? Why doesn't he draw something in the sky and let me know he's real? Why doesn't he just pop up and tell us? And so those are honest questions. If we haven't had those questions, we're probably not being honest or thinking these things through. And so the 901 is all about just allowing the campus and bringing these claims of Jesus and even giving us answers to not only share with our friends, but also for ourselves. So the good news is, I think there is evidence for God. But a lot of people think Christians are delusional, like we're just praying and worshiping air. Some people would even say it's all about blind faith. You guys heard that before? Some of you guys have said it. You just got to have faith, man. But that doesn't cut it, and I'm going to be honest with you. And so how do we share with our friends that God is worth considering? I want to show you this path kind of to lead people down so that they're confronted with a decision. So I'm going to give you three proofs or three evidences so that this makes it, I think it's clear cut. I think it makes it from not just a non-issue like, yeah, God might be real, whatever, and walk away and that's it. But it's going to be a decision. It's going to be something like, I'm going to choose to follow or I'm going to choose to reject. Something like that. It's not going to be like, well, I'll just let it sit on this shelf, the things we just talked about. Because if there is proof, if there is evidence leading to God, it's worth considering. It's worth our time and our efforts. It's worth a lot more than even your college degree, believe it or not. If it's true, right? So I say that all the time with my friends that don't believe in God. And they're like, you're crazy, Rod. I'm like, but if it's true, then you're crazy to not be following God. So let's give some proof. By the way, many people have come up with their spiritual beliefs and they seem satisfied. Spiritual beliefs. That's why you guys in the room or you have friends who think they have spiritual beliefs, but they haven't really considered them through. And I would say, man, I'm on campus for that reason. A lot of you guys are saying, hey, let's think this through. Does it make sense what you really believe? Or are you just believe in something your parents have told you, believe in something that you read on Google, you know, you Googled it. Now that's what I believe. Saw a YouTube video. It's true though. I mean, there are a lot of ideas floating out there. It's almost like fad diets. You don't know which one to believe. So you just throw them all out. You know, like, just eating Burger King for the rest of my life. But the question is, are you satisfied? Do you have reasons why you believe what you believe? Here are some assumptions I have to go into this, all right? If God is real, God would want to be known. That's an assumption I'm going to make tonight. I think that if God is real, he or whatever God is would show himself or itself, okay? And I say itself just to kind of give people who think God isn't personified in the person or, you know, like the Bible says, but God, the being, would want to be known. It shouldn't be complicated. And it shouldn't be what you believe is good for you and what I believe is good for me, because that doesn't answer the question. It doesn't say where we come from. It doesn't answer anything. It's just saying, I'll never find out and let's not talk about it. And then move on to things that seem more important. But if we're talking about God, ultimately that would be the most important thing to consider. So if God is God, meaning the greatest and highest being overall, that's my assumption. That God, or is the definition of God, is the greatest and highest being, or force, as one of my buddies would say. It's a force, he's energy, right? But either way, it's going to be the greatest and highest overall. And God would not want to have 1,000 faces, as this author Joseph Campbell, maybe you guys have read him, or you will one day, might have said, God has 1,000 faces. There's no way that he would want to have all these different takes on who God is by the same people that he created. So basically, they're just worshiping all these different versions of God, and then there's no way he's known because it's all what we just crafted. I hope that makes sense, because I think God would want to be distinct. So why doesn't God reveal himself clearly? And I think the answer is he does. And many of you would say, well, wait, Ryan, if it's that easy, everyone would believe in God, right? If he clearly reveals himself. But for someone to submit their lives to this God, then it's different than any other decision they would ever make, or you would ever make. To follow God would mean every decision ever made in the future would be based off of that decision. So if someone comes to believe in God, then everything changes. Because then there's this authority, or there's this greater power, higher power, some people say. But if this God is the God that is over all, then he actually has the say. Or it, the being of God, right? So that's going to change our lives. Unless that God's just like chilling and he created everything, he doesn't care what goes on. But we're going to see that's not the case. So we all know this, and that's why it's common for people to demand every question answered. Our friends do, we do, right? We know that following God means a life, a radical life change. So we're like, well, I got to get every answer or every question answered. It's an honest, natural tendency, right? Or every piece of evidence, like, well, how come there's this contradiction in the Bible? Which, by the way, at the Thursday Skeptics Bible Study, you're going to see that these contradictions aren't contradictions. We just need to understand the story. We don't have to be biblical scholars. Or the scientific proof. Like, we just need scientific proof for God. And you guys in biology classes, people are like, I only believe what science proves to me. It's honest, it's humble, some people have said. But if we say that, then we're saying we can never believe in God if all we believe is science. Because the definition of God is outside of science. We can never put science or God into a test tube. We can never empirically test God. It's impossible. It's like saying, I'm gonna have a scientific proof for a miracle. The definition of a miracle is something that's outside of the laws of nature, which is all that science can include. And so we just have to be honest. When people say, all I do is follow what science has shown me, you say, well, then you can never even comprehend or believe God. You're just already cutting this out of the equation. And so tonight, and for you guys, when you take this and maybe use it and share it with your friends, or even you're wrestling with these questions, I want you to know that there's evidence. It's pointing right to the God, I believe, of the Bible. It's really worth considering. Take what I say tonight and maybe launch into that and just go on your own search, because it's worth it. That's kind of the story of my life. So the evidence all around us points to the God of the Bible. And to not believe in the God of the Bible goes against really the evidence that we have. Now the goal, for those of us who believe in the God of the Bible, this is what Peter says. In chapter 3, verse 15. We're not cracking open the Bibles like we normally do, or like we do often here. This is more of a line of thought of how to prove God. But this verse really launches us into tonight. Peter says, continues, he says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord, honor Jesus as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. So make a defense for someone who asks, why do you have this hope? First, we have to know what the hope is in Jesus. Like, how is there a hope in Jesus? Is it just being saved from hell? There's much more than that. It's a great hope. That would just be fire insurance. That's not hope. But for another day. But then also, we need to have a defense for why we have this hope in Jesus. And so I'm going to give you this defense tonight. And lastly, the last part of that verse is, yet do it with gentleness and respect. All right? So I believe that we could share these things, that we could be like, man, you're crazy for not believing. Or, you know, just really coming down on the person. We never would want to do that. Because if we're all honest, we all have doubted. We all still have questions. We'll never understand God fully. To even say that would be crazy. But here's the three ways that God's clearly shown. First is creation. We'll talk a little bit about that. Second is history. And third is the spiritual claims. Okay? So just remember those three. I'm going to fill in the blanks. So when we look at creation, we look at everything that has been created, we see life created, right? So starting from that thought, where did it all come from? Where did that tree out there come from? Where did that rock come from? Like, we honestly have thought that before. Everyone in this room, I know it. So where did this design of the universe, Earth, and our bodies come from? How can something come from nothing? Good question. Now, I know a lot of scientists have tried to say that something can come from nothing and try to explain away the design of the universe. And I know in your classrooms, they're sharing that as well. I've even heard a famous evolutionist say, Richard Dawkins, say that the whole universe tricks us and makes it seem like there's a design, but there's not. It's all chaos and it's all just random chance. And I just believe, I'm like, when I hear that, I'm like, wait, when I line up three leaves on the ground and walk by them and I see the three leaves set there in a perfect order and straight, I don't say, man, what random chance did that happen? I'm like, who lined those leaves up perfectly? And there's so much stuff when we look in the creation that shows order and design that you have to be nuts. You have to have more faith to believe that it was chance than that there's some sort of designer. But let me go on. When we look at the Bible, we also see life created. In the beginning, God created. The first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. So it brings this answer based off the Bible. I know, is it true? Would be the next question. But we know that something cannot come from nothing unless that something is God. Remember that. I'm sitting in church one day, and I don't believe in God at all. My parents drug me there, and I was up all night partying and stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, wait a minute. How does something come from nothing? And after that, I was like, well, there has to be a God. He sits outside of time. He sits outside of all that we know, and whoever this God is, and he had to have created something out of nothing. Only God could do that. It's a logical thought, I think, even though God sits out of time, and I have to kind of allow for that. But think about it. Even Stephen Hawking admits there would have to be something outside of the universe. This is a quote. You guys heard of Stephen Hawking? Any of you guys? Yeah. Famous atheist. Super smart guy, scientist, philosopher, more scientist, I don't think he's a philosopher. There would have to be something outside the universe, he says, to wind up the clockwork and set the universe going. Now, he doesn't ascribe to that something, but he does say that it looks like there is design in this universe. Many of the biggest proponents of atheism say Earth started by panspermia. You guys know what that is? That's where they believe, and I heard Richard Dawkins say this, that we were seeded by some sort of other life form. They put all that we know of life, or what the necessary elements of life, on this earth to start it. Well, then my question is, where did that life form come from that brought that seed here? And they just won't answer that. Look into these things. Creation points to a designer. And I think it's loud to turn our attentions from ourselves. We're like, where did all of this come from? Like, if we don't ask that question, it's mind-boggling. Even atheists are asking that question over and over. And the clear answer, I think, is it came from something outside of all that we can understand, and that would be God. Who or what created what we see? All right, so that's creation. That doesn't answer a lot, right? But it does stir us up. If we just didn't look at creation, if we were locked up in a box or something, we wouldn't have the questions that we have when we stare at the beautiful ocean or we look at the intricate design of how the earth works and the cycles. And even when we get into science and look at how our bodies work and DNA, and we see this design behind everything, right? Kind of points to where this come from, who started it all. So now the next question, or the next point, is history. So creation kind of wakes us up. And then history really puts kind of flesh, or really puts detail on, because creation points to a God. But even like me, on that day when I was in church and I was like, whoa, okay, I guess there is a God, I still didn't know what God. And I went and I went on a search, different religions, took world religions here, took this course on the Bible, and the guy said the Bible is just crazy, and it like Book of Matthew was written by like five different guys, and just all this stuff, right? And as I'm learning what everyone believes, and I'm just trying to figure it all out, well, history, I think, points to where we can zero in on. So now we can share, and hopefully this clarifies for you guys as well, but what is history? It's a collection of information we have about what happened in the past. So where is God in history? You take all the religious leaders, you take the prophets, the miracle workers, the great teachers, all religions that we have on record, right? You lay them out on a table, you research them, you get the historical accounts. Out of all of history, one group of followers who followed a distinct God is set apart. I don't know if you can guess who it is, but it's the Jewish people. It's the Hebrews. Another term for them is the Israelites. Now this stuff, I never heard this before. I never heard this when I was going to church and didn't believe in God. But this is history that we have right here, how they followed Yahweh. Okay, they followed the God of the Old Testament. History, true fact. And then we have from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is something we have. We can go and look at them. These are these scrolls that were found in caves, and I can't go into detail, but they basically say that the Old Testament that we have in our Bibles actually is what they wrote then is what we have now. And then we also have this document called the Talmud, which is a historical document of Jewish people. And in these documents, all documents we have today, they point to Yahweh. They show that the Jewish people followed Yahweh, the one God. Okay, there's descriptions in there and we could go on. But the Jewish people not only were different with one God, but they were shown off as really different. One God was unique back then, but also they had some unique laws, unique things going on in that. First off, they were a bunch of ex-slaves. Okay, they wandered without a homeland. We've talked before how there's even proof. I know a lot of people say there's no proof of these Jewish people being slaves in Egypt and where are they in the hieroglyphs, but I'll answer that another day. Again, but they were slaves and they wandered through the desert without a homeland. And they were said to be distinct in their traditions. You guys have heard this. No tattoos, don't eat shellfish, can't cut your beards. They had this tent, which they said God himself was there. God had a pillar of cloud, like all this wild stuff that we can read about. God also is said to give them commands and direction. Okay, and the stories go that these people, the Israelites or the Jewish people, had a distinct God, and there was fear among the land, and they took over cities like Jericho, and just the list goes on. This small group of ex-slaves survived. And now today, what do we have? The Jewish people have Israel, and they're surrounded by five countries that just want them all dead, and Israel still stands strong. 1948, solid nation. Here's what Mark Twain, an agnostic, says about the Jewish people, all right? The Egyptian, great civilization, right? The Babylonian and the Persian rose. They filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. You can tell Mark Twain wrote this. The Greek and Roman followed, made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other people have sprung up, held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. So he's basically saying the Jew's BA. All things are mortal, but the Jew. All things are mortal, but the Jew. Saying the Jew just stands the test of time, right? All forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? This is Mark Twain, just seeing the Jewish people as resilient. I mean, we can even look at, that's a whole other story, but even look at the Holocaust. We can look at the Jewish history and be amazed that the history books of the God they worshipped followed and directed their lives around. And this same God, the God of the Bible, is the one who led them, and then the Bible goes and points and says, that God is Jesus, the God, Yahweh, who came to be a man. All right, so the Bible kind of takes this and says, hey, I helped the Jewish people. You can see this in history, and now look to Jesus in history. So first is you look to the Jewish people and you say, how did these people who followed the God of the Bible, how did they survive? And then you could say, okay, so maybe that happened. But now let's look at Jesus, because Jesus now speaks a little bit more clearly or a little bit more detailed of which God to follow. So let me take you down. So first is Yahweh, or you look at the Hebrew people. Next you look at Jesus, who's a historical fact. Everyone says that Jesus was a person. The Jewish people, some of them, they didn't think he was God, instead actually a sorcerer. Okay? But we have in the books, we have in the records, that it was a historical person. He performed either magic, false, magic, or it was miracles. There's these records in history books. Okay, there's Roman records of Jesus. Modern skeptics, they don't dispute Jesus was a historical figure, and history including the records, don't dispute he had many followers. Okay, so first you look at the Jewish people. How did they survive? Second, you look at Jesus and that he was a real person. And he was said to do miracles, or he was elite, at worst, he was this magician. Okay, we've got that on record. So he existed. And then the last one is, now was he God? We talked about that last week a little bit, 2 weeks ago. Liar, Lord, or lunatic. But here's the kicker, is you look at Jesus' followers. So they've been recorded in our historical records. We can look at the Bible, other records speak of Jesus' followers, and it tells what they said and did. Jesus died at the hands of Roman authorities, and he was said in outside historical records. So just throw the Bible out, right? And you take the outside historical records, and it says that these followers continue to teach that he came back from the dead. Okay, so did it happen is the question. There's no getting around the fact that his closest followers all died except one. Okay, this is historical, accurate stuff that we have, and they all died for teaching about Jesus. Now, why would they die for someone they knew was a liar or a crazy person? Like I said, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but why would they die for someone they knew was a liar or crazy? It wasn't a popularity contest back then. No one talked about Jesus to get money. You know what they talked about Jesus for? To die. They all died. There was nothing good that came about talking or preaching or teaching about this guy who said he's going to come back from the dead 3 days. And if he didn't, they just kept teaching this about this guy who they knew was a liar or a madman. It doesn't logically make sense because Jesus said he would come back from death and the soon-to-be martyred disciples taught it. We have the records of that. We have records of the records of that. We have people who are like, I can't believe they keep teaching this stuff. People complaining about the Christians. That's all there. Why did they do it? Their deaths proclaimed their belief that Jesus was God. He died and rose from death. Look into it. It's in the history books. Aside from the Bible, there's vast historical evidence of the resurrected Jesus. And the question is, did it really happen? If it didn't, every Christian might as well give it up. Rip the Christian fish off the back of your car. Throw your Bibles away. Go join a country club. Or something else. You know what I mean? Why go to church? If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you might as well, the whole Bible doesn't make sense. It always pointed to that. It pointed that it would defeat death. The disciples preached it. So now we're just believing a lie. By the way, if you just want to take down Christianity, if you want to be like an anti, you know, like maybe you're, you know, just try and go against and say the resurrection never happened. That's what you want to attack. Just try and find the bones or something. You know what I mean? Good luck. People have been trying for a while. They haven't found the bones of Jesus. They haven't shown that these disciples were teaching about a madman or someone they knew to be a liar. The Jewish records. Okay, so here it is. You got the Jewish records. You got the Roman records. You've got guys like Tacitus, Pliny the Elder. I know I'm spitting names out, but Josephus, a Jewish historian, a Roman historian. I mean, you've got so many records going on about Jesus, about his followers. They're worth considering. They all can't be tampered with. So God shows who he is in Jesus and that the Bible, it is a main source, but history actually supports the Bible. The Bible's not a history book. But history does support the Bible, and the Bible supports history. We see it when you read it. You're like, man, there's so much in here that is accurate in history and archaeology. It's a great book. Even if you don't believe it, it's a great book. All right, so just to reiterate, look at the Jewish people, look at Jesus, and you look at his followers. I think the trail, the evidence leads to that Jesus was God and that his followers believed it, and that he was raised from the dead to prove it. Lastly, the spiritual claims. Now, we're talking spiritual claims here. They can be found in the historical records, like what Jesus taught his disciples or what they continued to preach, and we have records of that. So what Jesus said is actually what was recorded, and we actually have records of that. A few weeks back, or 4 weeks back, we talked about how we know the Bible is actually what the followers of Jesus, the closest followers of Jesus, wrote. We have this. It is accurate. Talk about that more if you need to another time. But many would ask that question, and I think it's a good question. So if you have that question of how do we know the Bible is accurate, I'll buy you coffee and we'll talk about it. We've explained this before, but let's take a quick look at the spiritual claims. These are going to be truth claims, right? I would say these are like what the Bible says or what God would say is the truth. So though we say they're spiritual claims, if they're true, they're truth claims, meaning that the claims actually mean something to direct our lives. Now, if these claims are true in the Bible that we have today, and they set themselves apart from every other religion, then we're zeroing in again on Christianity. And I think that the truth claims are radically different than anything on the face of the planet, the truth claims of the Bible. I've seen the books comparing Buddhist teachings to Jesus. I have Muslim friends who are like, man, Jesus sounds just like Muhammad. And the question really is, if you read the Bible in full, not piece to piece, is it very different than all the other spiritual claims of these other teachers? And I would say it is. You look at it and the Bible is distinct. Jesus looks nothing like Buddha or Muhammad. But you have to read the Bible in full, not pieces. I can always take snippets out. There's probably something I said tonight that sounded like Jesus. Well, there's probably something I said tonight that sounded like Buddha. I'm always talking like Buddha, you know? But here's the thing. If you read it in full, you're like, there's nothing even close. Now, there are some like, okay, love your neighbor as you love yourself, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you, okay? But those are just snippets. The majority of this book sounds nothing like the other books. The majority of the truth claims sound nothing like the other truth claims. Now, any good knockoff has aspects of the real thing. It doesn't mean that the real thing came from the knockoff. How do you teach a person to spot fake money? You don't teach them the fake stuff. You teach them to look at the real bill. You teach them how to spot the real money, then they could spot a fake. And so when we look at the other religions, the other truth claims, sure, they're peppered with good truth. But I think it comes from the real truth, which is the Bible. I know I'm biased, but I think that's what happens. So though these other guys might sound like Jesus, or the truth claims might sound similar, it's not the full deal with the other religions. Let me explain why. There's distinctive evidence within these truth claims of the Bible. It screams at us that there is a God, and He is the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God who created us. He owes us nothing, right? Because He's God over all, and He is all, He's over all, and yet He came to die for us. No other religion has that. He cares about us. He wants a relationship with us, and all He asks is that we trust in Him. He's distinct in that He says it's not about what we do for Him. It's about what He did for us. Share that with your friends, guys. That's big. I don't know any other religion that's like that, where it's not about I work my way up to heaven, or even as my Muslim friend said, he pulls his bootstraps up and he does work. He does work for mercy before Allah. That's his exact words. Maybe some people don't believe that, but he does. And with Christianity, with following Jesus, it's not about what we do to earn our favor before God. It's about what God did. And what did God do? He sent His Son. God became a man in the person of Jesus and did it all for us. And all He says is trust in Him. That's big. That's different. And then some people are like, well then, why be obedient? Why can't I just go crazy? I trust in God and now I can just go buck. And the real truth is, if we believe that God is like who He is and the Bible says He is, then we're going to trust what He says. Like a father gives good commands and good guidance, and we're going to trust our father. And when he says, hey, you shouldn't do this, we're just not going to want to do it. Trust in Him. It's not out of earning His favor. It's just called trusting God. And you're going to see if you really believe in God, if you're trusting in His ways. So, the main message of the Bible is that God has done all the work. We're simply just to trust in Him. No other religion has a rescuing God like this. Show me one. No other religion has a God who works for mankind like this. No other religion has a loving God who cares like this. Those are bold claims. But I also think a God who seeks and saves despite our rebellion, despite our mess ups, like the God of the Bible, is unique to every other religion on the face of this earth. It's worth considering. The truth claims zero in and say Christianity, or I like to say the claims of the Bible, Jesus followers, this whole thing is different than every other religion. Just look at this distinction within the truth claims of the Bible. Christianity really does set itself apart. Now to conclude, Jesus, historically and biblically, he doesn't allow us to say he can show us the way to God along with the other guys, the other teachers, etc. He claims he's the only way. There may be questions that we don't understand, like what about homosexuality? What about sex? What about corrupt church politics? What about hypocrisy? I mean, the list goes on, right? But despite our objections or your friend's objections, the evidence points to the God of the Bible. And by the way, there's answers for those things. But it points to the God who loves you. He gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. He's the judge and the one who saves from judgment. He's the judge, but he also saves us from judgment. Read the Bible, we can understand that even more. Who is creator? He's creator, he's king, he's friend. How do you have a God like that? It's awesome. Tell your friends that, guys. Tell your friends that he's worth considering because the God of the Bible is so distinct. So what would it take? Here's a good question you could ask people. What would it take for you to believe in God? What would it take? What would it take for you to trust the God of the Bible? It's just a good question. Hey, would you ever be a Christian if you had all of your answers answered? Some people just don't even want to bow to authority or admit there's a God. Some people just don't even want to. Whatever belief you have now, do your reasons stand up to the scrutiny that you have toward Christianity? Do your reasons stand up to the scrutiny? So all of this, well, what about this, what about this, what about this? Do you have reasons against Christianity or do you just have scrutiny? Whatever spiritual belief you have, though, if it feels good, if it just feels good, right? You think it feels good. If it's not true, it's a false teaching. That's scary to believe false teaching like that. And so we can call our friends and say, hey, if this is false, what you're believing, then you're believing false teaching, and your life is actually dedicated and going that route. It's big stuff, guys, I think. Lastly, it's easy not to believe because there's no claim on our lives that way. To just kind of keep this spirituality or this conversation just kind of right here. It's easy not to believe because then there's no claim. We can live any way we want. I get it, but the bold claims of the God of the Bible demand a choice. And the choice really comes down to follow or reject. There's no middle ground. Either you follow God or you reject God. Either say there is no God or I'm not following him, but I think the evidences would say you're just saying you're not following him. There's so much evidence. All right, this quote sums it up. Considering religiousness with the seriousness it deserves means taking one's life in one's hands. Thomas Morris, he says, many people who spend weeks mastering a new video game, months learning a tennis serve, or years perfecting a golf swing will not invest a few days or even a matter of hours, you guys are here, so you're investing some hours, in the effort to understand better some of the deeper questions about life. One has to love the truth to find the truth, and the most important things in life rarely come to those who do not press hard after them. Not music, not literature, not athletic skills, not solid relationships. So I say consider the claims, guys, and call your friends to do it. It's worth their time. It's worth looking into. All right? Creation, history, and the spiritual claims all point to the God of the Bible. It's big. The evidence is there. Those are proofs to really zero in on God. Zero in on Jesus, the God of the Bible. Okay? So I beg of you, and may you beg of your friends, consider the claims. That's why it's our tagline.